And the people of God said, it is good to know that one day we will all do what? Yes, we will all live in glory. We will all be in that place that we sing about. I oftentimes tell us, when you get there, look for me in the crown room. And if you don't see me in the crown room, then look for me in the robe room. And then if you don't see me in the crown room nor the robe room, just come to my mansion. Is that all right? Is that all right? Well, I'm looking forward to living in glory, aren't you?
Amen.
And one day we shall hear. This is our goal as Christians, that we hear our Father say to each and every one of us, Well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. Is that all right? That's the hope of the people of God, that one day this world comes to an end, and that we are caught up in the sky with those who have gone on before us, and our Father joins us with them, and we go back to glory with Him for eternity. Amen? If that's not your dream, you're in the wrong place. But if that's your dream, say amen.
Amen.
It is good to be here this morning, and it is good to see those of you who are visiting with us, and we want you to know that we are very privileged to have you in our presence. We know you had a choice. You could have gone somewhere else, but you decided to worship with us this morning at the location where the Wheatus Lane Church of Christ meets every Sunday morning, to worship our God, to sing praises to His holy and His eternal name. And so we're so very thankful to have you in our presence. Amen?
Amen.
We have a few members that are gone this morning and who are traveling, so be mindful of them and keep them in your prayers as we are mindful of them or thoughtful of them. Before I get started, I want to do a couple of things. A couple of Sundays ago, I shared with you a story that I pulled off of the internet, where this family survived a 100 mile trip in a trail home, and we mentioned that under the heading of how to count your blessing even in times of sorrow, even in times of stress. And while the message was good, the story was a hoax. And so some of our internet Bereans, amen, let me know that story had some truth problems, the idea behind the story, how to see your blessings even in times of struggles, still remains with us. But I like to be accurate. And so, when you begin to share that story, remember somebody wrote that up, okay? And they fooled Brother Thompson. Shame on them. But I'm not. It's not beyond me to make corrections when we need to do that. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, one other thing. I have been called out. Y'all been talking about. And apparently, you think I only got one pair of boots, and I bought them last week. And my children bought them for me, okay? But I've been called out. So I want a couple of things that I want you to know. I have more than one pair. And yet, last Sunday wasn't the first time. But since you called me out, I'm going to call you out. So I am forthwith, whereby, therefore, any other legal term you want, I'm declaring, acknowledging Sunday, August the 4th, as Cowboy Boot Sunday. Now, some of you have already come to me and told me you have boots, and you have ostrich, and you've got gator, and you've got caiman, and lizard. All right, I'm calling you out. Now, and I've even had some sisters say, I've got a cup, I've got a pair. So, brothers and sisters, I don't care what you come in, but come in your cowboy boots Sunday, August the 4th, which is officially my last Sunday in the pulpit here. So I'm calling you out since you called me out. Turn around, spare play. Mark that on your calendars. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. we have, in the last couple of discussions we have had, Bible class, Friday night phone Bible class, this lesson that we're going to be studying this morning. Please don't leave this morning after the worship service. Come to our Bible class this morning. We're going to talk about the idea of joy. Okay? But there's been an inadvertent theme that we've kind of stumbled across that I'm calling attitudes of the heart. Our relationship with God is all about our heart with Him. Amen? Whether or not we are faithful, whether or not we believe in Him, whether or not we trust Him, has everything to do with where is your heart? Where is your heart? Where is your relationship with God? And so we've kind of been on that theme inadvertently, and we're going to continue that. And we also want you to know that God is concerned about your heart. Amen? He's concerned about your strength. He's concerned about your well-being. He wants you to know that He cares. So this morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, if you don't mind. We've looked at it before in the past, but we need to reemphasize this idea because, let's be honest, we are in a season. Amen? Our hearts struggle with the loss of a lady I don't mind calling mother. We call her Mother Green.
Amen. Yes,
we call her the Candy Lady.
Yes.
And I don't care if you are 7 or 70, I've seen her pass candies to all that whole spectrum of ranges. And some of you are much older than 7. And so our hearts are void. We have a brother, Dudley. And those of you who knew Dudley as I know Dudley know that he has a sense of humor. You gotta get close to him, but he's got a sense of humor. I remember when he introduced himself to me, and he did so by speaking of you. He said, "He says that's A. Mosley, but I'm B. Mosley." I have never forgotten that. I will never forget that. You know how people marked us indelibly, and when they are not here, it leaves a hole. There are some among us who are struggling. We have mothers and we have fathers, and they are struggling, and our hearts are tugged. My brother, Wes, your brother, Wes, Sister Wanda's twin, is on a difficult road. It's interesting sometimes we can go into our doctor's office or the dentist's office or just somewhere casual and expecting the day to continue, and then everything turns upside down. And so with Brother Wes and others, we've been in a vigil in prayer. Every morning we touch bases. How are things? And he doesn't have to, but he gives me a rundown every morning of what's going on, how his mom is doing. The hope I hear and see and we share in prayers, in our comfort of one another. We have his dear sister, Denise, whose father is on a similar difficult road. It's not easy to be loved ones during this time. It's not easy to love the person whose loved one is at ill or is in stress and be unaffected. If you love one another, if we love each other, then when you hurt, I hurt. You know, sometimes my criticism has been that sometimes I speak too many of these kinds of services, or these kinds of messages, but I tell you, folks, these kinds of messages gets God's people through the day. Amen. They get us to tomorrow. And we can't blithely go as if this isn't happening. Because sometimes to acknowledge it is to be strengthened by it. We're so glad to see Brother Torrance among us. He's been on a tough road, guys. All right? But he's here. We've been praying for him. I remember when his road began. We turned up the city of Austin looking for him. Because we care, because we love. Nobody in this building can come up missing and none of us not find out why and look for you and be concerned about you. And yes, turn up the city. Because we love you. And because we are loved by you. This corner and that pew is empty. Because a brother among us, a seminal member of this congregation, is hurting. You know he'd be here. He sent word to me last Sunday. I'm going to be there, Brother Thompson. I'm going to be. We talked about this the Saturday before last Sunday. I'm coming. I'm going. You sure? You want anybody to pick you up? No, I can. I think I can do it. And he sent a message that Sunday morning that he just could not physically be among us. Sister Ross. Sister Ross told me one day, she says, Brother Thompson, sometimes just getting up out of my bed and walking to the couch in my living room is all I can do. But she doesn't tell me that just to say that. She tells me that because she knows I care. She tells you that because she knows you care, and you in turn extend your love and your kindness. We have those among us who have lost mothers, sisters, cousins, grandmothers. In this building. And the pain's still there. The void is still there. I have a brother-in-law. We announced, you know Linda. You know her and her heart. She's worshiped with us. She's gregarious as all get out. But her family has been ravaged. Her mother-in-law last month passed, surprisingly. And you know the thing about being long-lived and long-married is that when one spouse goes, Father Jones died 2 weeks ago. Can you imagine? Where do you go when you have a 1-2 punch like that? Where do you look for comfort? Where do you look for strength? When your soul cries out, Lord, help, to whom do you turn? When you are full and you think you can't take it anymore. Perhaps the Apostle Paul has the answer for us. In your Bible, 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, if you'll turn there, let's see if Paul has some encouraging words for us. And then the lesson will be yours. 2 Corinthians, And the verse, the chapter is one, and the verse is one. And if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And so Paul says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, and with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of all mercies and the God of comfort, who comforts us all in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and your salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings as we. Amen. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Did you hear Paul talk about the inclusiveness of comfort, the inclusiveness of afflictions that we seek comfort from, the inclusiveness of God and God providing us collectively the comfort we need? Did you hear in that passage that no matter how much and to what extent there is suffering, God sends not an equal amount, but an overabundance of comfort, so that we first and foremost might be comforted? But see, God didn't want us to keep that comfort to ourselves. He wants us, after we have been comforted by him, first and foremost, that we turn around that comfort and we comfort one another. You can't be in this family and not feel what we feel. You can't be in this family and not have the joy and the happiness and rejoice when others rejoice and are happy and are full. And you can't be in this family when I'm hurting and not be affected by my pain. That's what family is all about. Oh, I know sometimes family makes us. Nobody irks us like family, amen? Let's just be honest. With family like that, you finish that sentence. But the real strength of family is how we come together. I grew up in a family of four boys. We fought like cats and dogs. That's what boys do. But only among us. But Wes, you couldn't come along and just see me beat up on my brother Mark and decide you want to beat up on him.
Well, that's right.
Because the whole dynamic would change.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I can do it, but you can't.
Amen.
That's the uniqueness. That's the strength. That's what holds us together, is how we love and share and are bonded together. So as we think about this, I want you to ask yourself, where do we go in tragedy? Where do we go in difficult circumstances? Where do we go when we need the comfort of others? And I also want you to know and have this hope that happiness, that joy, that contentment, that love, that mercy, that comfort can be found even in the darkest of times. Where do you go? Many seek comfort in all the wrong places. Some lose their faith. Some give up on God. Some believe that it can't be helped. I can't be helped. The situation is so bad, there's nothing else I can do. And some literally give up on God. Some try to forget when they seek comfort. And we seek interesting diversions from reality, drugs and alcohol and other sordid passion addictions that only on a short-term basis remove the reality that we are dealing with. Because when you sober up, when you wake up, when you come to your senses, the problem still exists. And all you've done is wasted time and resources and perhaps injured people in the process. Some complain. And that's all they do, as if that gets rid of and eliminates the challenge. But I want us to know that what Paul is trying to tell us in this passage is that true comfort comes from God. Look at the third verse there. Let's go back there and look at that third verse. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." What Paul is saying, he calls God the God of comfort. What Paul is saying is, when you need comforting, when you need things to be better in your life, when you need encouragement, when you need an anchor, that God is the source of that. He is the source. He's the Father of mercies, Paul calls him. Every good gift, James says, comes from above and from our Father. Paul, in Romans the 15th chapter and verse 5, calls him the God of patience and comfort. Sometimes you and I just need somebody to sit with us. You ever be with a friend or a loved one and you're there in the hospital room? It's not necessary that you say anything. It's not necessary that you have some quip of wisdom that will allow you to alleviate the problem. No, sometimes all you need is somebody to sit patiently with you. To hear your heart when your heart doesn't even know how to express itself. Anybody been there?
Yes.
Anybody been there? Yes. And Paul says, folks, he says to the Corinthians, he's the God of comfort. Now it's interesting, Paul is taking on this subject with Corinth in this second letter. Because by the time this second letter gets to Corinth, Paul's had to be pretty severe with the church there. He's had to withdraw, or had the church withdraw from one of its members. He's had to have the church
comfort, of the discipline. Remember, and somewhere along the way, Paul says in all of this, he says, now that you've done the discipline, at the same time, you got to go get him. You've got to go get him and comfort his heart. You've got to bring him back into the fold, because what we need more than anything else is the comfort of God and the comfort of one another.
And so Paul says to us that God, he's the God of patience. He's the God of comfort. And you know when this comfort comes, Brother West, go to our lesson text. And I just want us to kind of just read out loud, because it makes the story, it makes the lesson more impactful. 2 Corinthians 1, read verse 4 for us, please.
Who comforts us,
yes,
in all our tribulation.
A little bit of our tribulations.
Only
in the tough times.
Only
when I don't need God. In all of our tribulations. What Paul is saying is that there's not a time where God's not sensitive to you and me. There's not a time where we go through difficulties. No Christian in here, no child of God in here should feel ever that you are alone. That God does not know, that God does not care. Amen. Not a single one of us. Because Paul says that in our afflictions is where God is. He says in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, he says this, 13 and 5, God says, I will never leave or what?
Forsake
you. Isn't it good to know that you can go, David said it this way, even in the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy they. They bring me
at ease. They make me at ease. He lies me down and comforts me and consoles me and stills my aching, crying heart. That's the God I serve. That's the God you serve. That's the God who loves you beyond your circumstances.
I challenge us, members. Challenge us. God has said that no matter who you are and no matter what you're doing, no temptation that you will encounter, listen to me, will overtake you. You got to look for the way out, but God will be there even in your most difficult hours, even in your most... Some of us are torn up because of our own lives, our own personal lives. Some of us beat ourselves up because we can't, some kind of way we feel we can't be who God wants us to be. And I appreciate the sensitive hearts like that, but sometimes these hearts are so oversensitized that when they lose battles with their flesh and with the world and with Satan, they ultimately want to walk out on God, and God says, no, in the middle of your temptations and in the middle of your trials and in the middle of your struggles, I'll be there and I'll show you the way out. And I'll bring you comfort. I'll comfort your soul so that we don't have to have the angst that we have sometimes when we just can't do it. He tells us in verse 5, read verse 5 for us, Brother West, real quickly. He tells us in verse 5 that the greater the affliction, the greater the comfort. Listen to the words.
For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us,
yes,
so our consolation also abounds through Christ.
So now what Paul is saying, as they abound, as our sufferings, sometimes we as children of God live living righteous lives. Sometimes we suffer for the sake of Christ. Sometimes we suffer because of our righteousness, because of our godliness. Sometimes the world ridicules us because of what we take or the stands we take. And it's difficult sometimes. Look at some of the subjects that's in the news today about
about morality and where we are in this world, where society is versus where God wants us to be. And sometimes the world looks down on us. And what Paul is saying is when we are ridiculed, when we suffer, when we have afflictions because of who we are and because of what stands we take because we are God's children, the more those things abound, the more God's suffering, the more God's comfort, rather, and his mercy increases so that we can stand.
Where do you go for comfort, guys? It's not in a bottle. It's not in aspirin. It's not in the arms of another. It's not in drugs. It's not in abandonment. It's not in escapism. Comfort. The only place you and I can get the kind of comfort that lasts, the kind of comfort that abounds beyond any affliction, is to come to God, because he's the source. Through Christ. Look at what he says. Read that again. Read verse 5 again for us, please.
For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us,
yes,
so our consolation,
yes,
also abounds through Christ.
Through Christ. He is the conduit. He is the means. That's via Christ. By him. Because of him. That's how we are comforted. That's how we stand. That's how we share abundantly in this. Everything is in Christ, who puts us in touch with God his Father. Amen. Paul says in another letter to the Ephesian church, he says, all spiritual blessings is where? In Christ. Where's comfort? In Christ, through Christ. Where's the source? God the Father. Because he's the Father of mercies. He's the Father of comfort. Get for me Romans 15. And verse 4, Brother West, let's look at that real quickly. I want us to be able to tap into a well that we as Christians sometimes just don't know we have. What does Paul say there?
For whatever things were written before,
yes,
were written for our learning,
yes,
that we through the patience and comfort of
Christ. Look here. Let me make that.
When mama dies, what Paul is saying, when mama dies, you can look in God's word and see what to do when mama dies. Because in God's word are examples of God being with folks when mama dies.
When daddy dies,
Paul is saying that the comfort of the scriptures, in the scripture, is God's word, which consoles us, which comforts us, who shows us how to walk through the storm when daddy dies. We're looking in the wrong places for the strength that God gives us all. We should look in his word through his son to the God of all comfort, who has an overabundance of what you and I need to get through our storm.
Where do you go for comfort? I want that question resonating in your mind and in your heart. Where do you look? To who do you go for comfort? In 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, we don't have the time to go there, but Paul talks to the church about Timothy. And Paul addresses with the church how Titus comforted Paul, first of all, in his afflictions. And then Paul talks about the verses 5 through 8. Paul talks about how then they were comforted when they heard how the church comforted Titus in his difficulties. Now here is comfort going in both directions. Timothy, Titus rather, giving the comfort to Paul and Timothy. But then they also are being encouraged when they hear how the church comforted Titus. This is 360 degree of comfort. Comfort is something that is not supposed to be put in somebody's pocket and stay there. You spend the comfort. The comfort that you are comforted with, you turn around and you pay it forward. You give it to somebody else. Because you don't have to worry about running out of comfort, because God, your Father, has all you need. If you will only take it and spend it. Are you lacking? Philippians, the second chapter, verses 1 for us real quick. Are you lacking true comfort? Perhaps you've been looking in the wrong place. As I mentioned earlier, it only comes from God, and it only comes through Christ. And so Paul tells us this secret. He's talked to us about how to work on our relationship with fellow Christians to enhance this comfort. Philippians, the second chapter, in verse 1. Read that for us, please.
Therefore,
yes.
If there is any consolation in Christ.
If there's any consolation. Listen to Paul and listen to what his admonition is to us. Read on.
If any comfort of love.
If you want any comfort, read.
If any fellowship.
Yes.
If any affection and mercy.
Yes.
Fulfill my joy.
Yes.
By being like-minded.
Read.
The same love.
Yes.
Being of one accord.
And of one mind. Yes. Read.
Let nothing be done through selfish ambition.
Yes.
Or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself.
Yes. Read on.
Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but
for the interests of others. Now listen to what Paul is saying.
Paul is saying we are a family. And if there's any comfort, if there's any joy, if there's any mercy, if there's any understanding, here's how you find it. Forget about self and be concerned about others. The era of the selfish Christian has come and gone. It never really existed. That was the problem with the Corinthian church, is that they were selfish. They were selfish in their giving. They were selfish in their observation of the Lord's Supper. They were selfish in their use of spiritual gifts. And Paul took the roof off of the church to say, it's not about you, it's about each other. And if there's any consolation, if there's any joy that's going to be in God's house that benefits us all, we've got to stop thinking about self and come to one another's rescue and one another's heart and suffer one another's injuries and pains when they hurt, because none of us are in this. And a lone Christian is a sad, solitary story. Forget to see it. Well, how do you find this comfort, James? Well, first of all, you've got to come in Christ. You've got to be in Christ. And you come to Christ, first of all, by hearing God's word and by believing his word and repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus is your Lord and Master. Confessing that Jesus is God's everlasting and eternal Son. Putting him on in baptism, dying to self, and then rising to walk in the newness of life. And you will enjoy the hope. You will enjoy the mercy. you'll enjoy the happiness. You'll enjoy the contentment. You will enjoy the joy. You will enjoy the comfort of the God of all mercies. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the gospel call, you're a member and you desire prayer, or whatever statement you'd like to make, we give you this opportunity as we stand and we sing the song of invitation.